When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're in the new year, baby, 2022.
Oh yeah.
So overrated. We're like in the second. I don't even know what day it is anymore. I literally just came back from Costa Rica last night. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. While you were wearing shorts and t-shirts, I'm freezing my ass here back in Jersey, and even in Florida, you're still wearing shorts and t-shirts. So
I got a little short sleeve shirt, little shorts going on here. I think the next time that I'll be seeing you and everyone else, I'll be in my house that I've been waiting to get into for almost 7 months. And then I'm going to set up like a green screen behind me or whatever. And we can have an actual regular place. Although we've gone, two different homes. And by the way, if you hear stuff in the background, that's my daughter is cooking. So she's down here with me. She was supposed to go back tomorrow. However, this weekend, everybody, I'm in Las Vegas. So tonight, while you're listening, just the Patreon listeners, I'm in Kansas City. Tonight, for all you YouTubers, I'm in Las Vegas, South Point Casino. And I was looking forward to hiking. And when I go to Vegas, I don't gamble. Vegas to me is a gig. It's just basically a gig. But wherever I go, I try to take advantage of wherever I'm at. And I just saw it's like down in the high 30s at nighttime. What's up with that? I knew it got cold, but I didn't know it got that cold, Mike, in the desert. You ever been there? You ever been to Vegas?
Nope.
Have you been? You've been on the road a lot. You haven't done the road a whole lot, have you? You're not really traveling.
Not really. I mean, I've done pretty much the entire East Coast up and down. I haven't been any further west than like Pennsylvania.
But
I have gone to Dominican Republic, Cancun. I've done Spain, Italy, Germany, Prague, all that good stuff. Poland.
Get out of here. Why would, hey, can you tell, you can't hear that music in the background, right? I don't want people coming after us for like, hey, you know, doing a podcast while it's music in the background. Poland, what were you doing in Prague and Poland?
A buddy of mine had family in Poland, and I was really good buddies with him, skateboard and all that good stuff. And he asked me to go with him with his mom and dad. And we met his family. We stayed at like nice fancy hotels. We stayed in like a poor part of Poland and where they had like the bathroom was outside. Yeah, it was a culture shock. Went and saw Auschwitz. That was nuts.
Whoa.
It's definitely an eye opener. It was pretty crazy. But it was awesome being able to walk from Poland over a bridge and go into Germany. That was pretty cool.
Where in Germany? Do you remember where you went?
This is 2001. So I couldn't even tell you. Yeah.
Holy crap. You know, I went to Germany. We went to Germany a couple times. One, the first time I went, we went sightseeing, I think. Right, Kels? Didn't we all go to Germany or something like that? And we went sightseeing and all that stuff. And I think I was playing there, right?
I think I was playing there.
So all I remember is the first time I really went to the first time I remember Germany is I played this thing. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm blank. Wacken, W-A-C-K-E-N, but the W is V, Wacken Open Air Festival. And it was mostly metal bands and all that. So I had me and a couple guys playing in a band, and we would tell stories and music and stuff. We had no right to be there. It was amazing, did awesome and all that jazz. So I go to check into the hotel. I've been telling this on stage, but it's a true story. So I go to check in the hotel, and if they did it back then, but they check your passport. You don't just give your, whenever you check in anywhere, they want to see your passport. So I get the passport, and the guy goes, Brauer. I went, no, I'm Brewer. He goes, 999, B-R-E-U-E-R, is an owl, you are German. I said, yeah, my dad was German. He's like, this is German. You are not Brewer, you are Brauer. And like, I don't, and another guy came from behind the desk and he's looking, he's like, yeah, you are Brauer. Brauer, but uns very, very popular, uns German. You are very German. You come from, start telling me like what the village you came from. I've been Brewer my whole life. And they say it with such conviction. Dude, within 5 minutes, I'm like, I am a Brauer. And I came home and I told my wife, like, you're not going to believe this, but I'm Brauer. I called all my nephews. I'm like, we are Brauers. We are not Brauer. We are Brauers. I started going to all the dopey German festivals. When I lived in Jersey, we'd drive up to Hunter Mountain in New York. There's an Oktoberfest. I start going to the Oktoberfest. I put the dopey hat with the feather. I had the Liedenhausen, the things. And I don't know. I still don't know what they say. And then we'd start going to beer gardens. I still go to beer gardens. So this is really funny too. So on that same trip, all I wanted to do was go to a beer garden where, you know, the girls and you see the cleavage and they wear the outfit like that. I just want to be served a big pretzel. And everyone sings whatever, and they all do this thing called I have no clue what they're saying. So we're asking everyone where, we don't know what it's called. We don't know it's called a beer garden. All we know is, oh, the St. Pauli girl beer has that on the cover, right? So, Mike, hand of God, we're asking everywhere. Where's St. Pauli? St. Pauli,
pretzel and all your thing.
And they're all looking at us like we're nuts. And they're sizing us up. They're like looking at us and making these faces. We asked 3 to 4 times. And finally, we're on some corner. Oh, I should have got my friend Joe Viglia. I should have got the guys to, this is an off the cuff story, so it doesn't matter. We got to relive this story one day. It's so funny. Oh, it's funny when all my stuff falls, huh? I'll make sure I didn't break anything. Jackass. I get too animated when I tell stories. So let me make sure I'm still recording on here. Okay, good. We laughing at. So we're doing this for, I don't know, an hour and change looking for St. Pauli.
Everyone's giving us funny faces. All of a sudden, thank God, this guy comes up. We're on the corner. We're like, what are we doing? We're walking for an hour. They say this, they, that way. Everyone gives us an attitude. This guy comes up. He goes, you guys American? Oh, you're American. He goes, well, yeah, but I live here, and I lived in Canada, and I lived here. But he's one of these guys that just live all over the world. He goes, what are you looking for? You guys look so lost. You look exactly, everyone can tell you're a tourist. I said, we just want to go, you know, with the girls, and they wear the outfits. And he goes, a beer garden. Like, yes, a beer garden. Yes.
Finally.
Yes. That's what it's called. Beer garden. I go, he goes, oh, I'm sure you can, there's gotta be some close by. Okay. You know, it's really weird. Everyone kept giving us this attitude because we'd ask for, you know, St. Pauli. And he goes, St. Pauli is Minnesota. It's you're talking about American beer. He goes, I get you were describing whatever. I said, well, why did they give us that attitude? He said, because St. Pauli is where the gay red light district is. And we're like,
there you go. That would be it.
I was like, oh my God, they thought we were dudes looking to buy other dudes. Oh my God, no wonder they were sizing us up. They were looking at us like, oh, which guy do you think? So as this conversation ends, right? I swear to God, the guy leaves. He's like, good luck, but you know, you want to head in this direction, and it's a cool city and there's good sights. As he leaves, right across the street is this huge Ferris wheel going around, okay. Like, oh, what's going on over there? And then we notice it looks like a carnival. We see this other ride. And we go walking across the street, cost whatever euro to get into this carnival. It's huge, huge. It's like the size of a 2 football fields. As soon as you walk in, everywhere's a beer garden. Everywhere. As soon as you walk in, they're like, don't come to our beer garden. And we got all, I got crushed that day. I think I fell asleep on a train. I fell asleep at dinner. It was sad. It was very sad. But when you say Germany, that's all you think about. Brauer and the stupid looking for the St. Pauli nonsense.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I just came back from, I took the family and we went to Costa Rica. Oh, before we even get into that. So while I was coming home, I get all these messages. It started with my Maria's crew back in Chester, New Jersey. And they wrote, one of them wrote, whoa, getting some love from Sly Stallone. I went, what? And he sends me Sylvester Stallone on his Instagram posted a sketch with me and him on it way back in the SNL days. And he goes, hey, reflecting on a great moment with the great Jim Brewer. And I was like, wow, that was really cool of him to just put that out there like that. I mean, guy's still a legend. Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, Rambo, so much more. So I want to thank Sylvester Stallone for being kind and putting that out there. You know, and then it made me reflect a little bit of the SNL days. And I have to honestly say, he was one of the most regular, down-to-earth guys that I ever came across. I mean, at the end of the day, whether you know him or not, he's a superstar. He hit that superstar status. And whether the new generation knows him or not, and he is like, he was up there. Still is up there. And I'll never forget, he came in the room, and it was me and Tracy Morgan, and we came up with so many sketches, just him talking. So he comes in our office, and it's me and Tracy, and we go, wow, like, who are those guys? He goes, you know, my bodyguards. We go, wow. He goes, you know, I don't want bodyguards. He goes, it's not like I want bodyguards. He goes, but you'd be surprised how many people the general public will size him up because he did Rocky and they think he's Rocky and they can't get over the, it's like me with Brian from Half Baked. people go, you got me through my teenage years, or you got me through this. I'm like, I never say, well, no, I didn't get you through. The character got you through. I didn't get you through. It wasn't Jim Brewer. That was Brian from Half Baked. And he goes, you know, I got to deal with people always sizing me up and stuff. So, and then he started talking about, he goes, the weirdest is like people come up to like, hey, talk to my wife and here. And we actually end up writing the whole freaking sketch about it. And it was some of the people's favorite sketches, but everything he did, he kind of created. And then in the beginning, we did a whole monologue where me and Tracy, I think, played Mr. T, and I come out as Mickey. I can't even do the voice, but it took me a while to get the voice down. And again, he was kind of the initiator of that. And I have to say, even at the after show, everyone thinks Saturday Night Live has these after parties that are wild and crazy. They're really not. They're just, you go to dinner and we get up and we kind of wind down. Everyone has their own table and it's not like people on top of the table and you're like, okay, it's time to do the initiation. Who can hop from table to table? And it's nothing like that. But he came up to us specifically and said hello to the family, and he was one of my all-time, and I never forgot that, he was one of my all-time favorite human beings, not just entertainer, but human beings that I ever met. He was he was a great listener. He was into everything you were talking about. He wasn't phony whatsoever. So I guess that's a long way of saying shout out to Sylvester Stallone. You know, that's another thing about Saturday Night Live. There, security. If you notice, you never see on YouTube any after party videos. Have you ever noticed that? It's very subliminal, but nobody ever sees that. And I wonder how many people have actually tried to find that. You'll never see it. And I remember the first night of the show that I was on, and the show is over, and I was taking pictures, and security is like, yo, we can't do that here. Like, but I'm in the cast. Like, we understand that. Just, no. This is full-blown private, full-blown. I'm like, really? And I really respect it. I always try to explain that to friends and stuff. And as shows went on, I realized kind of why. Certain guests would come on. And you're like, you know, so-and-so is like laying on the ground at the bottom of the stairs by the toilet, right? Like, yeah, he's like that all the time. What? So anyway, Sylvester Stallone. So we go to Costa Rica. We had this trip planned for at least 2 years ago. We planned this a long time ago. And a couple days right before COVID hit is when we were supposed to leave, literally 2 days before. And we were going to take the chance anyway, and they just canceled the flight. Like, no! So we finally get to do it. And I have to say, I think it was one of my favorite trips that I ever did. It's, it reminded me of Hawaii. If you've ever been to Hawaii, but without being commercialized, and a lot more exotic animals. So as soon as we get there, I will say this. It was when we landed, I don't know if too many planes land at the same time. It took almost 3 hours to get by immigration. And I already hated Costa Rica. Like, done with Costa Rica. And then when you get there, you have to prove you have insurance in case you get COVID and you're stuck in Costa Rica. You need like medical insurance and all this other stuff. You don't have to be vaccinated. You don't have to have a COVID test to get into Costa Rica. To exit Costa Rica, you must have a COVID test. Doesn't mean if you vaccinate, whatever. We get all the way to the front of the line, and somewhere along the line, they're like, something's wrong with your barcode. We had to go into another room. And I thought, they're like, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. We finally got in, and we're off and running. Now, we had a 4.5 hour drive to get where we're going. So we broke up the trip, or 5 hours, almost 5 hours, where this house we were staying. We had to take a boat to the house. It was totally out in the middle of nowhere, which will show you all the pictures. So when the first night we get there, it's dark. Woke up, we're on a beach. It's the beaches are black. It's all black sand. From what I understand, basically Costa Rica is all volcanoes. It's all volcanoes. And they have tons of earthquakes. And there's fault lines everywhere. So their ground and everything is all, it's all volcanic ash and mud. It's freaking amazing. So when we finally got to the house, I can say this because my kids get pissed talking about it. You can hear me, right, Mike?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Before we went there, thank God for my wife. She said, I don't want to get stuck in Costa Rica if we get COVID. Can you prescribe a preventative or something? So I'm asking around and whatever. Long story short, I prescribed ivermectin. God forbid. Right? I said, we have to try something. Let's try ivermectin. I've heard from people, from actual friends, that helped them big time. So, okay. Now, before we get there, we saw some people, and as we're landing, we're getting along, we're starting to get, hey, man, you know how you saw so-and-so last week and so-and-so last week? I just want to say they're tested L positivity. And I went, oh, no, don't do that. So we're on the way to the middle of nowhere, and we're on this boat. I mean, when I say boat, I'm not talking it's like the size of a rowboat, a little bigger than a rowboat. And it had a motor. It wasn't like a luxurious, there's no seats. It's just like sitting on a rowboat. You get on there like, and you're going through these rivers. And it's just nothing. It's mountains and rivers and nothing. But I'm starting to go, oh God. And I can't hear everything stopped from here up. I'm going, oh my God, no. Now I already had it. In January, I already had it. And I did get sick. I might have had the Omicron, whatever they called it, in the beginning of December or end of November. Whenever I was in Connecticut, I was sick. And I was taking vitamins, and I was taking Mucinex, and I was taking I was steaming every day. I was taking Vicks and I was rubbing it all over. And I had this kitchenette. So I'd boil water and I'd take a towel because I had to do shows. I was getting my ass kicked. And I would boil the water and the steam would break everything up before every show. And then I'd pop in, you know, calls and all this stuff. But everything up here was, and it was, I don't know, 3 days, 3.5 days, 4 days. Gone. Didn't think much. And then all of a sudden Omicron came out. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I had that. But now these kids from up north, northeast, are visiting, and they're visiting my kids who I don't go near. But now they're all going home. They're going, hey, we tested positive. Hey, we're sick. Hey, this one's got a fever. I'm going, oh my God, no. And I went, okay, if this starts getting a little worse, we have the ivermectin. Well, we get to the house and I've got, oh, damn it. this is all, I can't hear out of one side. I don't have chills, no fever. So at the end of it, right before I go to bed, I went, you know, I'm not going to play around. Me and my daughter too. One of the daughters is now like, oh, damn it. I'm like, oh God, let's just start taking this. We take it literally by the middle of the next day. I was like, oh my God, I'm starting to feel amazing. And I have a video. There's a video I sent you, Mike, where when we reached this house, we had to do an incline. Everyone has four wheelers. So we had to walk up this path. I'm going to say it was 75 yards, straight incline. Like, this is the way my hand is. That's the incline. It's at least like that. I'm not exaggerating. And my ass cheeks are on fire. They're on fire. And I remember the first time going up, I was like, oh my God, this thing's going to kill me. You see me in the video after the ivermectin, just, you know, totally could breathe. Everything's amazing. Long story short, cleared up in like 2 days, felt amazing. I'm not saying I had COVID. I'm saying I had the symptoms. It could have been Omicron, whatever it was. I'm just telling you, and I'm not said, I'm nothing to sell, be dead honest. Ivermectin cleared my ass up big time. Just telling you. I made that video that I sent you, Mike, and my kid's like, don't show that video. I'm like, why not? I'm just telling the truth. Don't let people know you were sick. I'm like, people get sick, but I just want people to know. Well, I'll tell you what, I just got a whole bunch more, just God forbid. Now, with that said, now I can really start to enjoy it. So the first night we get there, it's just, you're overlooking, it looks like a movie. You know what it felt like? You see, oh my God, Jurassic Park. It felt like Jurassic Park. It was stunning. It was beautiful. We get up, and it's just, we had this woman that would cook for us named Dolly. And thank God my daughter speaks English, and thank God for Google Translate. We would sit there and go, Dolly, whatever we'd say to her, and then to her, like, and then it'd say, hey Dolly, is there any onions in this thing? And she'd go, and she's like, there are no onions in here, however we did put in peppers. Okay, thank you. And it was really cool. And my daughter knows somewhat Spanish. My wife was kind of like, ask Dolly this. And my daughter go, el paso, el glute. She's making a face right now. And then they would start talking to each other, and she goes, see, 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 see. It was, thank God. Let me tell you something. I talk about on stage. There's a stage in your life where your kids start to really degrade you, and they put you down. At least mine do. And they think you're stupid. But you know what? Thank God I have them around, because you got to download apps to travel. When we've had to leave, we had to do a COVID test online. You get someone online, like, what? It's like, download the app. Okay, just do this. Here, thank you. I feel like my parents just. I felt like I was so technically far advanced from my parents, who still had a phone that they had to take off the wall, and that's where I'm at with my kids. I'm like, don't leave me if I got to figure things out online. Please help me. Which, thank God I have you. Thank God I have people like Evan. Thank you, God. But it was so. Here's the one thing I'll say about this place. When you first see what are they called? Kelsey, what are those birds that are all colorful? The beautiful red.
A macaw.
A macaw. you see a macaw in the wild, it really, listen, I have a thing where, like, you know, I know people that have African birds for pet. These things should not be in cages. These things are beautiful. They're majestic. And the sounds they make. So these macaw, and I put on Instagram. Now, from what I understand, I didn't see it, but every time I did see a macaw and I hear the noises it make, it was a macaw. And they usually travel in pairs. Every time I saw them, they'd be in pairs. The sounds this thing make was just, and it would do the same thing every night, just as the sun was coming out, it's coming down. This thing would go off and go nuts all day. It was just wild. Now, the following morning, now you got to understand something. It's hot and it's humid. It's humid. There's no air conditioning. So you got ceiling fans. That's all you got. And everything is screened in. You can't just close a window and you're off. You can hear, everything is screened in. So everywhere you sleep, technically, you're glamping in a house. So you hear all kinds of noises. My kids were freaked out the first night. Freaked out because the bugs were all. But in the morning time, I thought monsters lived in the woods. You heard this. And when I tell you it's pitch blackout, it's blackout. And you're in your bed and you're like, what is that? What is that? And then you can hear towards the end when they're, ooh, 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 and they're so, it sounds so close and it vibrates throughout the whole woods. You're like, what is that? They're howling monkeys. And you think they're huge? They're not. They're like, that's it. That's about the size of them. But it was the most. If you didn't know, if someone did give me a heads up, like, you'll probably hear the monkeys. That's how they present it. You'll hear the monkeys in the morning. It's a lot of fun. If you don't know that's a howling monkey, you're going to discover you got hairs on your body you didn't know existed. I mean, on my neck, on my rear end, on my back, which is like, what is that? What is that? I mean, listen to this sound. This is what I would wake up to. Just listen to this. That.
That's wild.
Picture. Complete black. And it's real close. So what's really funny is my kids later told me, like, they were just in bed like this. I'm never afraid to move. They were just like, where my wife and I were up going, do you see it? What is it? It's like right over there. What is that? Dude, that was the most insane sound. The major bummer, never saw them. I wanted to see him so bad, never got to see him. We went to beach one day. Oh, this is another thing. I thought they were messing with me. They said, there's crocodiles here too. There's crocodiles in Costa Rica? Like, yeah. You'll see them on the riverbanks. Oh, and they have these crocodiles. And then one day we went to the beach, and it's where the ocean meets the river, and the water's really rough. Beautiful. We found this little cove. And a day later, we took a ride to this island on a boat, pretty much the same water that we were in. And there was a crocodile on the beach. Costa Rica has crocodiles in the ocean. Dude, you know, forget sharks. I'm not, sharks don't scare me. They really don't. I love going scuba diving. I love scuba diving. You see a shark underwater and they're moving like this towards you. If you just kind of face them, most of the time, if it's not an aggressive shark, like a tiger shark or something, they'll just like, they'll see you and like, I don't want to deal with that. Boom. A crocodile. They're like, they just have death. I'm going to eat you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You could stare at me one-on-one all you want. You could pretend you're big. I'm coming to eat you. Dude, that is the most frightening. One of the guys told me, so that, I'm not sure if I ever go back. I'm not gonna lie, that freaked me out.
They have crocodiles and caimans. The caimans can grow up 4 to 8 feet long. The crocodiles can be 13 to 16 feet long.
That's what he was saying. What, caimans? That's insane. What do you mean caimans?
Costa Rica caimans.
What are those?
Caimans and alligators are smaller than crocodile, but can still grow a fair size.
Bro, I don't... Crocodiles. I live down here in Florida. I see gators all the time. They look soulless. They just look like, one of these days I'm going to get you, bro. You're not going to be paying attention. And I'm going to be waiting here for you. That's what I feel when I look at a gator. A gator's just... He demands full respect. He just looks at you like, hey, if you ever, I just want you to know that I'm death and my presence is real. And don't ever disrespect me, because the one time you're not paying attention, the one time when you forget I exist, the one time when you do disrespect my presence, that's how I'll be knocking on your little rear end. I don't want to jump down so hard. You ain't got no way, you. Because you start twirling, you're done. Those things freak me out. But overall, it was one of the best trips I ever had. We went horseback riding. We had an island day, beach day. I highly suggest checking out if you've never checked it out. And I will say this, I do want to go back and I want to spend at least a month there. Or at least 3 weeks in all different areas. We didn't have a whole lot of time. My daughter's still in school. I have to do work. This weekend I'm in Las Vegas. I'm at South Point Casino. Try to make it out. I have 3 shows. It's 1 show a night. And then I have a lot of new Florida shows. So go on jimbrewer.com, and check out all the new Florida shows. I have a new Key West show. So I'm basically doing a run where I'm doing Port St. Lucie, Boca Raton, loved playing over there. So I'm playing Boca Raton, the Black Box. I'm playing Port St. Lucie, McCurdy's, Side Splitters. They keep selling out, so we keep adding shows. This is all in February, the end of February and March. I also am working on, me and Major, we're talking about doing a lot of tour dates. And I'm hoping to do a lot of Tennessee, Carolina, Florida, Texas, wherever. And I know there's a lot of places to see. I also am doing the Reawaken tour, American tour. So I'm going to be in San Diego. I'm going to be in Ohio and Oregon, the state of Oregon. So check those 3. Just go on my website. They'll be up soon and you'll see where I'm going. But I wanted to say hello to everyone. I didn't want to miss this week. We also, for the Patreon members, we have something really cool that we discussed today. And I have to say, this all comes from fans. Everyone interacts with me on, the best way to interact with me is on Instagram, direct message. You guys are so freaking clever. Someone wanted my, documentary about, taking care of elderly, becoming a caretaker with my dad. And it's not just me and my dad, it's for anyone out there. It really is. That's why I made it. And he said, why don't you, you know, do you have like vintage brewer stuff? And I went, so I'm planning on showing the whole documentary on the Patreon page and a lot more in the vault that me and Mike have been working on for the last few months, finding things in the vault. A lot of stuff that we're excited about. And the way, I don't want to give too much away, but the way we're going to present it, I'm really going to involve you. I'll just say that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be funny reflecting and looking back at something from some of these times and including you being part of that. And we'll get into that as we move down the road. So I just want to say it's great to be back. I'm ready to go do these Vegas shows. And for you Patreon members, if you can make Kansas City tonight, I'll see you tonight. Otherwise, Vegas tomorrow. For all you YouTubers, Vegas tonight, because this is when you're seeing it. And I hope to do a lot more shows. And I cannot thank you enough for the incredible positive energy that you, especially with the podcast with Jimmy Shaka and Lou Angelwolf. And I have a lot more guests like that lined up, and we're going to have more guests, which is growing. This is exciting. I've been waiting to do this my whole life. So we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep getting, I got people like Mike here that is a godsend. And Mike, I don't know if you realize this, but you're becoming a thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. I'm starting to hear it. Multiple people on Instagram reach out to me, and even people in the industry that have come up to you like, dude, I love what you're putting out there in your podcast. And I love the whole you can't really see Mike thing. They're really getting into that. And it's like,
nice.
It's not like we did this on purpose. It's just kind of, it's becoming organic. So hopefully next week when I see you and everyone else, I will be in my new home, our new home down here in Florida, Naples, Florida. And maybe I'll get a green screen or something for the back. But I just want to say hello. Hope you enjoy the little videos and the sounds that Mike is going to show during this and the Instagram and all that jazz. And just keep in touch. You guys mean more than you know. And, you know, when people say, hey, you know what, Jim, you're touching a lot of lives, and that means a lot to me, but so are you. Just because you don't get the feedback doesn't mean it's not happening. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You touch me and I touch a million others in a beautiful way. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to be funny. We're going to be conspicuous. And we got bunker stuff. We got great bunker stuff. I'm going to see if I can get Jimmy Shaka and some others to come on next week. We got some really good bunker stuff that I'm psyched to put out there, and so much more. Thank you for always being there. You have supported me forever, and I can never thank you enough. Mike, it's great to reconnect with you, and happy new year again.
And we'll
catch up next week, brother.
It's good to have you back here in one piece.
Exactly. You have a good one, man. I appreciate everything you do for me.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'll see you next week, man.
See you all later. Have a good one. See you next time, the Bruniverse.